Well, Jenny and I are pleased to be here for your homecoming and rejoice again in the opportunity of reminding you of the greatness of God and the blessings that we have. And so I trusted the Lord as my Savior about 79 years ago. It wasn't until years later that I began to understand and appreciate some of the blessings that God gave me. A man came to spend a night with us, and he wanted to go to bed. I wanted to talk to him and check out his mind and learn a bunch of stuff. He said, "I'll talk to you in the morning." And so he did. And we had a wonderful time of fellowship, learning some important lessons. And from that day until this, my understanding of the Lord has grown, I think, remarkably. And it has centered on the blessings that God has given to us. And my responsibility as a preacher and teacher to share, to preach, and to teach how others can enjoy, appreciate, understand, appropriate, and employ the blessings that God has given to us. An example, we sang happy birthday, and we said, "May God keep and bless." Those are two things that God has been doing, and He always does. You don't have to ask Him to keep you, because God is able to make He'll keep to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory. And He will bless us, having blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly place. And so in the area that Neil suggested, how did I grow? What growing experience did I have? And it came as I began to understand that most of the things we pray for, God has already given them to us. And as I traveled around the world and traveled among assemblies here, no matter where I went, I realized that the two most significant prayers that are being offered is, "Lord bless" and "Lord be with." Those are the two most common phrases in prayer, both of which are promised by God. And so what I found over the course of these years is there are the unsearchable riches of Christ. We just sang "Amazing Grace." The word "grace" is a wonderful word. It is translated in your Bible as grace, as thanks, and as gifts. You can come boldly to the throne of grace and find mercy and help the time of need. And so I want to look at three things with you this morning. I want you to look at your Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8. This is a verse that Paul began to appreciate, and his appreciation overflowed to me. Paul says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given," or this gift given, "that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." That just laid hold of me. What are the unsearchable riches of Christ? And the answer is threefold. The answer is, first of all, the riches of His goodness. The second one is the riches of His grace. And the third one is the riches of His glory. And if you look at those, you will realize that one is primarily in the past, one is in the present, and one is in the future. And as we realize this, not only here do we have it, but Romans chapter 11. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways, past finding out. But what a wonderful treasure it is to know that God, in His infiniteness, has given to us the riches of His goodness and the riches of His grace and the riches of His glory. As we progress in our growth and our development in the Lord, we learn more and more about the riches of His goodness and the riches of His grace and the riches of His glory. And I hope that you, in the same way, will get a hold of it and will understand. The riches of His goodness comes to us from Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. And it says, "Not knowing that the riches of His goodness led you to repentance." That's an amazing thing. What are the riches of His goodness? Over and over in the past, God says to Israel, God has been good to Israel. The goodness, the riches of His goodness are the things that you understood, appreciated, and employed. Take a deep breath. Nobody did it. You didn't pay for that. Get out your credit card. Go down to the river and get a bucket. Did you pay for that? The wind, the wonderful rain, the snow, the dew, the lakes, the rivers, the ocean. That's His goodness. And over again. Look at the wood that is out there in the forest. And you can have that wood for fuel. You can build a house. You can get medicine from it. You have the flowers. You don't pay for those things. You drive by and you say, isn't that wonderful? That's the goodness of God. The fact that God gives a seed to a man that doesn't know God, doesn't know Christ. He blasphemes, but he puts that seed in the ground. And what happens? It germinates, it flowers, it produces fruit. That's the goodness of God. And He says, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. Can you imagine somebody who blasphemes God and has a wonderful harvest in his farm? And he says, how can that be? God must be good to me to give me the seed, to give me germination, to give me proliferation, to give me multiplication. Surely God is good. And so He comes. And of course, greatest of all is, for God so loved the world. Not just the elect, not just believers, not just the church, but the world. Not knowing that the goodness of God leads them to repentance. I must trust God. He has been so good to me. And I realize that the rocks produce sand. He gives me the sun by day, the noon and stars by night. He gives me heat and cold. He gives me the wind to refresh me. He gives me the seasons. But above all, He gives me love. God must be a great God. It leads me to repentance as I understand the goodness of God. So the goodness of God is what comes to all of us. Seldom do we say thank you for those gifts, even though we believe. And then secondly, there is the grace of God according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus, Philippians says. The riches of His grace, the riches of His gifts. What an amazing thing. So distressed was I when I heard people praying and asking God over and over again for things that were His in Christ. I had to write a book called Blessings All Mine with 10,000 Beside. Or we could say, Riches All Mine with 10,000 Beside. And it helps us understand and get to know our God and His wealth. When you go home, when you go to homecoming at your house, what do you look around? Oh my, parents have so much more than when I was here as a boy. And the riches of our parents is just amazing. We want to ask them, well, how wealthy are you? The riches of His grace. And we are reminded again, the list, I found 500 verses that helped me know my God, to know the Lord Jesus Christ, that described the riches of His grace, the riches that belong to me. And I learned to turn from saying, gimme, 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 like a child says, and I learned to say, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's growth in that little boy when he finally says to mommy, thank you for that wonderful meal, rather than screaming and hollering and saying, gimme, gimme, gimme. In our infancy in Christ, we would say, gimme, gimme, gimme. But as we grow and mature, we find out the riches of His grace. And that's referred to in so many ways. We have forgiveness. We have the presence of God in our lives. We have His power. The power of the resurrection, the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, dwells in you. And then there's, of course, His love. Love one another as I have loved you. There is His joy, that my joy might remain in you, and that you're more. You want to make a list? I've already done it. And you go through this book and you'll learn to say thank you, because at the end of each meditation, this is not a commercial, it's just a reminder that I got to know God best of all when I understood and appreciated and gave thanks for and employed the riches of His grace. And then there's the riches of His glory in Romans 8:9-23. The riches of God, of His glory on vessels of mercy. And they're designed for glory. The riches of His glory. That's the future. My God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What a wonderful thing to know that the wealth of the future accomplished on the cross is mine. And He will keep me, and He has blessed me. And so, if I can give you a testimony of His getting to know my Lord and Savior and getting to know my God, it is by those three things. The riches of His goodness, the riches of His grace, the riches of His glory. They are mine because I have Christ and because Christ has me. And so we're reminded that over and over again. What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in us? Can you imagine? I have an inheritance that belongs to Christ. I need to go check the bottom line, right? I'm glad for my inheritance in Him. But Ephesians tells me that I am His inheritance. Does He rejoice in what He finds in me? The riches of His glory. And so we're reminded of again and again. So the area of life that I can give a testimony of is getting to know Christ through His riches. And as Paul says, I was called, I was commissioned, I was challenged to declare the unsearchable riches of Christ. What a wonderful thing to do. And it is my continuing responsibility to help people live in the light of the many blessings that God has given to them when He gave them Christ. Father, we're grateful to You for the riches that are ours because of who Jesus Christ is and the infinite riches that have been bestowed upon us in Christ. May we enjoy, may we enumerate, may we appreciate, give thanks for, and employ them so that people will know that Jesus Christ is alive. We give You thanks in His lovely name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.